It's Lisa's Book Report.
All right, settle down. It's time for book reports. Johnson's skipping class again. Dinger, you're here, but I know you didn't read the book. Murphy! Spit out that gum, put away the nail polish, and get up here.
One hot summer in Itching Down, 4 million wasps flew into town. Oh, sorry, no, that's the wrong one. "Where's Papa going with that axe?" said Fern to her mother. Oh, not that one either. My goodness, I really seem to be having problems with this. Oh, no, wait, here we go. I got it. Here we go. Today's book report, Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother by Amy Chua. All right, folks, here's the deal. I'm not overthinking this one at all. But since I did say that I would post some comments and I did ask you for yours, I have barfed out some of my dinner party conversation highlights in regard to this book. Meaning that if I was at a dinner party and the conversation turned to this book, which curiously at the time of that writing, it had not. And in fact, quite honestly, it never really did. But regardless, here are the comments that I was ready to throw into the mix for discussion or debate or whatnot. Number one. This whole business came on my radar literally like a blip the day that the Wall Street Journal released the initial article, and I gasp, will admit that I didn't really pay close attention at all. Then it came on the radar again with a question from my sister, and then I saw the Times article that was available at a newsstand now, and then I saw the New York Times coverage, and that's when I started to get curious. Number two, my out-the-gate comment with my sister as my witness was, I bet they are taking a lot of these sound bites out of context. And they did. But of course they did. Those sound bites are what got people to buy the book. Even folks who were disgusted wanted to read what it was all about, and cha-ching, $25 later, we all got our copy of the book. Number three, here's an out-of-context example. The final chapter, when she was supposedly humbled by a 13-year-old, contains her cathartic aha moment, inasmuch as Chua's self-represented self can actually have an aha moment. None of this was captured in a soundbite. It seemed that we were focused on the little donkey business, standing out in the cold and burning stuffed animals, etc., etc., etc. Number four, and now a little bit about hypocrisy. Tell me, please, that parents in the West have not ever screamed bloody murder at their children when no one was watching, or threatened or bribed them in some extreme unreasonable fashion when the kids weren't doing what the adult wanted. I mean, for crying out loud, they do that in Target when people are watching. So who's to know what goes on behind closed doors? And for what it's worth, who are we to throw stones? I'm just saying. Number five, at the time of the writing of the book report, I had not yet seen her do any interviews, so I had no take when I wrote this on her body language or her intonation, and I've never seen her talk about her own work. I was only limited to the print that I had read in the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, and then, of course, the Time magazine articles, and then, of course, eventually I got around to reading the book myself, and I read it and wrote this for you in February of 2011. Number six, I agree with her daughter's comment towards the end of the book that her mother, Chua, overgeneralized quote-unquote Western and quote-unquote Chinese parenting, but she's pretty black and white in her thinking throughout the whole book, so that overgeneralization, at least in my view, wouldn't be out of character at all. Number seven, I understand now at the time of this writing again that Chua started backpedaling, and I actually think that that bothers me. If she is somehow taken aback and overwhelmed by the response and reaction that her book got, she is clearly either surprisingly naive or has an absolutely horrible literary agent. How you could not know that you would be critiqued up one side and down the other after you're putting your name on what was in this book escapes me. And number eight. If it was supposed to be taken with a grain of salt, that should have been stated a little bit clearer and a little bit earlier on in the book. She came across strong in her, albeit controversial values, but I did not get tongue-in-cheek at all while I was reading it. I got the image of a very strong, potentially overcommitted, black and white thinker who wanted the best for her daughters and who went about providing it in the way that she knew best. Through the story, she learned that the way she raised number one daughter was not going to work for number two daughter, and she changed her mind. And in telling her story, it is my belief that she took full use of the poetic license we generally grant to writers of such extreme, passion-filled, emotionally charged stories. Number nine, which brings up another point, it's her story. As much as I didn't like some of the anecdotes she wrote about, and as much as I think I would not be like that, but never say never, the truth of the matter is that I don't like some of what Western parents or classrooms or businesses or do either. I still value her willingness to put her name on her story. So at the risk of sounding all neutral and wishy-washy, I don't have a strong position either way on this one, mostly because it is a story. And it's a story that allows some voyeuristic readers to fill themselves up with pride by saying, see what a good parent I am? I don't do any of that. Number 10, to wrap it up, I ended with a non-neutral comment. I agree with many of her critiques of what she overgeneralizes as quote-unquote Western parenting. I agree that we place too much emphasis on making sure kids are always happy. I agree we hover. I agree that we have forgotten that children are very strong, resilient creatures. I am not sure I agree with the tactics that she took to show her own children that she did believe in them. But I also think that readers of the book are naive if they think that all of what is in the book actually happened. It's a memoir, folks, not a how-to parenting guide. Submitted for your consideration on February 1st, 2011.
A-plus as usual, Murphy. But that does mean you can get away with your shenanigans. I got my eye on ya.
Connect with Lisa at ooeygooey.com and check out the other Child Care Bar and Grill podcasts at ccbagpodcast.com or by searching Facebook for Child Care Bar and Grill. See you next time. Hey, if you're listening to the podcasts and liking them, do us a favor. Look them up on iTunes, give them 5 stars, and leave us a comment. It helps.